Welcome into the Federation Hockey Podcast. I'm Jim Padgett, and I'm so pleased to be joined on this by Tony Zazowski. And if the name sounds familiar to you, it's probably because you recognize it as the commissioner of both the Atlantic Hockey Federation and the Tier 1 Hockey Federation. Tony, how exciting is it for us to have this platform to be able to talk about hockey?
Well, I mean, obviously we're all working hockey, so we love to talk about it. And any chance we can kind of share that information with all the teams, players, coaches, everything in our family of leagues, it's a great opportunity, and I'm excited to be part of it.
The way of introductions, I was an average player in average leagues and then went on to become a father who took a kid from tots to AAA to junior and now finally, luckily, to college. Tony's background, on the other hand, much more colorful than that as a player. Tony, could you give us a couple of the highlights on your stops on the way to a D1 college career?
The few stops along the way. I grew up in Chicago playing AA and AAA. I played for the Huskies and Hawks in what is now the Central States Hockey League. And I played for Team Illinois and Chicago Young Americans. So that led me to my first junior stop, which I played for the Lindsay Muskies in Canada before coming back and playing 3 years in the USHL. Had an opportunity to play for the Green Bay Gamblers for Donnie Granato and Mike Hastings in the USHL for Omaha Lancers. Obviously two very accomplished coaches, really enjoyed my time in junior hockey. And then before going on to play Notre Dame and had a very, 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 very brief stint in the East Coast Hockey League.
That's much more than most of us can claim. And I'm sure that was awesome for you both as a player and as a person. But let's talk about hockey management now. So my experience there is managed a couple of youth teams and served on a couple of boards along the way, making me a glorified hockey parent. You, on the other hand, we're not even going to get into all the detail because there's so much there, but you've been an assistant coach, you've been a head coach, you've been a scout. How about the highlights there and league management as well, and which is kind of what brings you to this position you're in today?
Well, I think the fascinating thing is, again, I have a business degree from, you know, University of Notre Dame, and I think I took time to learn, you know, team and league and organizational management from those sides. So, I mean, I did coach as an assistant in the North American League, USHL, and East Coast Hockey League. But really where things kind of changed is when I went to work for the San Jose Sharks and was the president of the San Jose Junior Sharks organization, which had over 25 teams. Uh-huh. And at the same time, coaching a 16 and 18 AAA team. So kind of learned both sides of it from that standpoint. And then I was a head coach and GM for the Springfield Junior Blues in the North American League for 5 years, but really did a lot of operational stuff, probably too much. And that's why I'm on this side of it. I'm still coaching. But, you know, between the coaching in the North American League and being in San Jose, I got to know the Mark Frankenfeld, the commissioner of the North American League, really well. I actually kind of reached out to the league and there was an opportunity there. So I went to work for the North American Hockey League as a director of player personnel, which was a fancy name for running the combines and doing some central scouting work and some special projects.
It's all important.
At the same time, because of, you know, helping the NAPHL in the early years, I was the director and commissioner of the NAPHL. And again, I just kind of found a niche for myself in, you know, the league operations here and excited to be a part of the AHF and THF.
Well, did you know that you wanted to pursue a career in hockey coming out of Notre Dame? I mean, you got a business degree, so there's a lot of things you could have done. I'm just curious, the hockey, did you stumble into it or did you say, hey, this is actually what I want to do?
Well, I still have that future dream to be a president of an NHL club or GM. That was kind of the direction I wanted to go. So I always kind of wanted to work in hockey. I mean, hockey's been the big part of our life. I tell all you parents out there that, you know, when they try to look at your young player and say, it's time to go to school, it's time to hang him up. Yeah. You know, I was in hockey as long as I was in school. So it was just as much as of who I am.
Everything's a stepping stone. So who knows where it goes from here, but you've landed in a good spot with the AHF and the THF and, you know, having that experience with the NA that you did. When you looked at this opportunity, what were some of the key areas you wanted to focus on right away going into your first season?
Well, I think the first thing is that, I mean, there's a lot of opportunities out there. I mean, you know, hockey's growing tremendously. Majority of my professional career, I was working with what would be called secondary markets of hockey or non-traditional markets. I always hated that word, non-traditional markets, because it always meant like hockey didn't belong there. It's not traditional. Mm-hmm. All those guys that... You know, I always kind of looked at it as emerging markets because, I mean, again, it was amazing some of the things that, you know, has happened in Dallas or San Jose or Southern California. So, again, I think, you know, the challenge for me is stepping into a hockey-rich area of the Northeast and the Mid-Am District and where they've got such, you know, rooted histories and stuff like that. I'm kind of challenging those areas, but I think the opportunity of just working with great hockey directors, you know, organizations that are tied in from 8U through, a lot of them even have junior organizations. I think talking to the people in leadership in these leagues, that was what drew me to it, is that that's where they started, is that there was opportunities that weren't being met. And, you know, the AHF and the THF and AGHF and all the different leagues here are there trying to meet the needs of hockey players, families, you know, organizations that are not being met.
Definitely a rich landscape. And I know one of the key figures that you work with on a daily basis is Matt Kiernan. And we're going to bring Matt into the discussion right after this timeout. Hope you'll stay with us here on the Federation Hockey Podcast.
Pure Hockey is the largest hockey retailer in the United States and the ultimate hockey headquarters for all your equipment needs. Whether you're just getting started or an experienced player, Pure Hockey has the widest selection of gear to keep your game covered. Visit one of Pure Hockey's 60-plus retail locations throughout the U.S. or shop online at purehockey.com. Apex Learning Virtual School can help players of all ages manage both school and hockey this season. Enroll anytime and manage when and where you complete your schoolwork. ALVS is flexible and designed to fit around conditioning, training, practice, and travel to tournaments. Visit ALVS.com or call 206-489-1079 for more information and to enroll now.
We're back with the Federation Hockey Podcast. We welcome in Matt Kiernan, who is the director of Federation Hockey. Matt, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. Very excited to be part of this endeavor.
It is certainly an endeavor. What type of preparation from your end, being the person who oversees all of this, leads up to the launch of a season like we just saw, you know, within the past couple of weeks?
There's a tremendous amount of communication between us and the clubs. Gathering declarations, planning a parity event at the AHF and the THF to make sure teams are properly placed for the season. And then once they're properly placed, and we have to create a schedule, and we have to work with those organizations to provide them a schedule. And then those organizations go out, they schedule with their opponents, and they return that schedule to us. And that schedule gets uploaded to the website where the families can access it through the website or the app that we have for the league. So that whole process, while it sounds simple, is very, very involved. And it takes a very, very long time with a lot of people spending a lot of hours on to make sure the games are scheduled, the players get a chance to participate and play the sport that they love.
What was the genesis for the level of organization that you've set up here? Because you could probably get away with doing half of what you've done in terms of trying to create parity and trying to create unbalanced schedules that are beneficial to each of the team. But where did you notice the need that this was something that would benefit everybody involved?
It's important for us, the customer, the hockey family, the player. It's what they want. It's what they've been asking for. And the goal of this league is to provide the experience, or the federations, I should say, provide the experience that the families would like, right? What they want their hockey experience to look like, what they want their weekend in the rink to look like, what they want their time in the car spent driving to the rink and looking forward to having great competitive hockey games, you know, run by a league that really cares about their experience on a week-to-week basis.
Showcase number one is in the books for the AHF, and we checked in with the U12AA Lehigh Valley Phantoms about their experience. Pleased to be joined by head coach Ken Doak and player Zach Durkin from the AA Lehigh Valley Phantoms. And Zach, what was your first experience with the showcase and the U12 team like, and how have you been settling in with your new teammates so far?
Well, it's been good. I think we did well, so that helped. Like, we had a lot of fun. We've been getting along in practice, like, no fights, so I know most of them from previous years. Yeah, we all get along really well.
That's great. At your age, no fights in practice. That's good start.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. And Coach, having put this team together and now taken them from the parody event to your first action of the season, as it relates to the systems that have been set up to try to make the league competitive, how has that experience been for you?
I think it's been really well. I think the league did a great job getting it right to the start of the season. The parody was something new for us because, as you're well aware, we all coming from the DVHL. So it was different, the parody, but the showcase, we were ready to go. We did well.
Zach, where do you see yourself as a player 6 years from now? Have you allowed yourself to think about where you want to be when you're 18 years old in the game of hockey?
Well, I mean, my goal is to, like, get to Division One. You know, like, it's hard to go pro. Like, just, I kind of, like, my goal is to get to Division One. I want to go far. I want to keep playing, keep working hard.
Goals are important, and I would encourage you to stick with it. Just follow your dreams. Coach, what's your personal philosophy on not only developing players that you have currently, but preparing them for what's ahead in their careers?
Well, first of all, you only get out of life what you put into it. So if you're going to go out on the ice at practice and bust your tail and give it everything you got, every rep, whether it's skating, whether it's stick handling, what have you, you're going to grow as a player. It all starts with skating. And at this age, you're still 12. We do a lot of skating and a lot of skills. So my philosophy has been the same for 25 years that I've been coaching. You work hard, good things will happen.
Matt, what kind of reactions did you get from the inaugural AHF showcase this year, and how did you feel like the teams reacted to the way you had it set up?
I think overall the players and the families had a great experience. It's always exciting to kick off the season, right? There's a lot of, you get your schedule in late spring, early summer, and there's a lot of, you know, looking forward to getting on the ice and competing with your teammates and, you know, spending time off the ice at the showcase with your teammates and getting, you know, bonding with them and experiencing everything that hockey has to offer in terms of the camaraderie with players on your team, with other families. So I think it's a great way to start a season for all of our teams because it's just not about the product or the hockey on the ice, which is extremely important to us, but it's the experience off the ice as well for the families.
I'm going to hit you both with this next one because the Tier 1 Hockey Federation also ramping up, and for the most part, no showcases in that league. But what factors highlight the THF as an elite league when compared to the other AAA markets out there?
I mean, the first thing that I would say is the organizations. I think, you know, when you're talking about it, is you want reputable organizations that have, you know, top to bottom teams that have either history of success or good people there that are going to build quality organizations. And I think, you know, that's the foundation, is that we have really good organizations. And then I think it, you know, the second thing that, you know, in my little 30-second speech, when people say, why are you working for the THF? What's different? Is really the approach to scheduling. Is that I think, you know, a lot of times, you know, leagues, I mean, the standard way is you play a balanced schedule. You're in a league, so you play X number of teams, you know, so many times or whatever that is. Where I think, you know, the fact that this league's trying to get creative, they understand the changing landscape of teams wanting to play good games. And at the same time is that, you know, cost of travel is going up. You know, gas is high, flights are high, all that stuff. So if you're going to take and spend your money, that you want to make sure you're traveling for good games. And I think, you know, that's one thing, is all teams are out there searching for good games. And I think, you know, this league's done everything in its power to try to limit bad games and try to maximize experiences for everybody. So it's really that, you know, the organizations, the competition that we're given, and trying to make sure that everybody has a great experience while they're a member of our league.
There's always room for improvement. And they understood that our league was looking to change some, what Tony mentioned before, kind of traditional hockey markets. Well, there was a traditional way of doing things. And we don't want to be stuck in that mindset. Well, traditionally, this is what a league does. We want to change what a league is and what a league does for their players and for the organizations that are members of that league. So we approach everything and we look at the whole structure of a league very differently than, once again, some legacy leagues might think of, because that's how they've always done it. The good news for us is it's brand new, and we're building it right now in real time, and we're changing it, and we will commit to making sure it gets better every single year. Things that we thought were going to work might not work, and that's okay, because we will change them. We will not just say, no, that's our business plan, that's what we're going to do, or that's the league model. Well, the league model can evolve and change to meet the needs of the organizations and the players.
Team Maryland represents the THF very well, and we caught up with the U18 team as their season gets underway. Happy to be joined by Team Maryland's U18 head coach, Tony McCauley, and forward Luke Rubin. Luke, I know the season is very, very young, but give me your first impressions on getting out with your team over the past couple of weeks and getting some games under your belt.
I think my team is going to be really strong this year. We've got a lot of really good pieces, a lot of really good personalities. And I think that our thing right now is once we start gelling together a little bit better, I think we're going to be a really strong team.
Coach, how has getting involved with the THF changed the way that you coach and or run administration for a club?
Well, the interesting thing about the THF and are the personalities inside of it. And we've had some really detailed discussions in the summertime about what the THF is and who the members are. And there's been a lot of working together hand in hand to make this a better approach to developing players. And I like the excitement that's coming from, you know, the conference calls that we've had this summer. And, you know, most notably that just comes with working together with the other members of the league and the rinks and the personalities involved, that we all seem to be pulling in the same direction. And that's fun and rewarding. And then to go do it, in a coaching aspect, you know, weekend after weekend is something we're really looking forward to.
This is an interesting level and kind of a challenging one, being that's the last stop on the youth hockey train, right, being U18. So, Luke, have you allowed yourself to think about what your hockey future might look like starting tomorrow and beyond?
You know, right now I'm kind of just really focused on this season and being as successful as I can here with my teammates, and just focusing on having a good team here, and hopefully in the future that allows, I think I can speak for a lot of my teammates, that we want to go on to play junior hockey. You know, maybe it's another year of U18 for some of us. And some of us really want to go play at higher levels.
And Coach, how do you balance getting performance today to get the results that you're looking for with the expectations and the dreams of young men who are obviously focused on this year but are also looking forward to what may be next for them?
The things we concentrated, I think, the most on as a group is identifying who they are as individuals and, reteaching them how to work hard, reteaching them, you know, what their best approach is. That allows each individual to be able to understand what they're doing, and it allows me and my staff, you know, to get the chemistry set out, you know, to see what's going to go in this test tube and try this one with this one and mix some things around. And the players have been open to those ideas, and they've really been working hard and listening. So that part's been very enjoyable, and I hope they continue that, because I think they're going to see that success. And as far as, you know, moving on from there, you know, we're just asking players to be themselves, just to, you know, to come out and work hard with a common goal as a group. And, you know, they've started to buy into that, and it's just a little bit each game, a little bit each practice that we're asking them to do that, and I think they'll see the benefit down the line here coming quickly.
Tracking standings in both the AHF and THF, it's going to be non-traditional because of the use of the Cratch rating. So, Matt, to someone who may not be familiar with Cratch ratings, I'm not going to ask you to fully explain how it works, but I will ask you to try to explain why it's important and how it contributes to the success of what you have set up here.
It's important because our teams play an unbalanced schedule, right? So in the AHF, as example, not everybody plays the same number of games. So to try to compare a team's record with another record is a completely unfair process if you were just go with the traditional point standings. The other thing is that we do understand teams during the year, they might improve, right? And it might change a division that they play in. We don't want to completely silo people to a particular division for games. sometime in April when we don't start playing games until September, which has happened historically. So these are using Cratch as a great way to measure one team versus another that's not playing a traditional balanced schedule.
Tony, as someone who's the face of the league to the public, and you may be the one who faces the most questions about it, is this process something that you feel like parents need to understand, or is it beneficial if they understand it, or should they just trust that the system works and that their team will end up where it needs to be come playoff time?
And I think the thing that I would just tell parents is that, you know your game schedule, and I think you always kind of get a sense of how good the team is you're playing or anything like that, is that obviously in this system, you're rewarded for wins against better teams. Mm-hmm. And so again, you look at your record and that's important to you. And at the end of the day, that's what you can control. But just understand is that based on the teams you're playing, which I think, again, most people have a realistic sense kind of where those teams are at, or, you know, what teams if we put on your schedule to go, oh my, we're playing those guys today.
Right.
You know, that you're going to know that and just have the understanding that, again, when it comes out to a rating system, it is going to be affected by who you win, you know, quality wins or whatever you want to take it. I'm a huge college football fan. So again, you know, most people understand rankings and ratings and all through college football, and just understand it's kind of the similar, you know, concept there.
There will be playoffs, there will be champions, but it's important that everyone involved enjoy the ride. That's kind of the philosophy of the league and why we're all here, correct?
Oh, agreed 100%. And I think as we talk about the difference of our federations, we're about opportunities in playoffs. Well, we have what is going to be an expanded playoff format. We'll have more teams participating in playoffs, up to 40% of our divisions. We'll have a chance in a playoff. And that's really, really important. People like championships. People like playing in those pressure-packed games. And that's what we'll deliver for our customers. And Cratch gives us the best chance to give the most deserving teams the opportunity to play for those championships.
Matt, thank you so much for stopping by and joining us today. Anything else you wanted to add in before we move on?
No, looking forward to continuing the conversation and talk about the exciting things in our league, and certainly hearing about players and organizations and teams' experience in our league, and looking forward to being a listener as well as a contributor to this podcast.
Well, really appreciate your time, and look forward to talking to you again soon. When we return on the other side of this break, we're going to talk a little bit about something that I know is very important to Tony and his hockey heart. That's player advancement. We'll talk about that in just a minute.
Today's athletes deserve more than just a sports drink. With potassium-packed electrolytes, antioxidants, plus B vitamins, and no artificial sweeteners, flavors, or dyes, Body Armor Sports Drink provides hard-working hydration and more. Body Armor, more than just a sports drink. Stock up on Body Armor at your local retailer. Finally, a solution for hockey fanatics who never got a chance to actually play the game. Join the largest adult learn-to-play hockey program in the United States, Foundry Adult Hockey's Get in the Game. Designed for adults with limited or no hockey experience, Get in the Game covers the fundamentals of skating, puck skills, and gameplay. Visit FoundryAdultHockey.com today to get out of the stands and get in the game. Trust Breakaway to provide your team with the highest quality sports apparel, custom uniforms, and spirit wear. Breakaway has built their reputation on being a leader and innovator in the industry, and the product line is equaled by best-in-class customer service. Visit breakawaysports.net to browse an online catalog and discover your custom outfitting solutions.
That's the Federation Hockey Podcast. Jim and Tony back with you. Tony, I wanted to make sure that I hit you with the player advancement topic. How did that become so intense of an interest for you?
Well, you know what, again, I think obviously as a player, you know, that's what you focus on, right? You want to win, but you're always looking to move up the ladder. And I think through my playing career, you know, the good or the bad, I think one of the things that was a lesson that I was a goaltender. And again, is that I always wanted to earn it. And I might have earned a spot on the bench. I might have earned a spot in the net. And that was something that through my playing career, it became very important to me. And then that's part of the reason I wanted to be in coaching, was that earn it aspect of, you know, giving kids opportunities. And And then, you know, kind of getting into the youth hockey world in San Jose, it was, you know, being in charge of an organization, I kind of was like the player development ladder of, you know, if you have your 8U, you want to go 10U, like making Definitely. Sure you're developing players. Because not only was I president of the club, but I was also the 18 AAA boys coach. So I wanted to make sure that I always had a good team. So that was the pressure on me, making sure player development and player advancement was happening all the way up the ladder. And, you know, got to the North American League, and, you know, it was kind of a challenge because you're serving two masters in the North American League, you know, that you're trying to win because that's what the fans are wanting to see. But ultimately, that's what kind of got me out of coaching, is that, when a USHL team or a college team called, anybody called, and it was the player wanted to go, I tried to do everything in my power to move them on, you know. And that's why when the opportunity came in the North American League where I could be the director of player personnel, which helped, you know, operate the combines and help give kids opportunities in the North American League, the NA3HL, I kind of jumped at it. Now I'm working for the THF and the AHF, and I'm really bringing that same mentality. But the exciting thing is just the scope and challenge, like, is so much more there, is that our league's ownership has a team in every league out there. I'm not just serving one league or anything like that, that, you know, we've got teams in the USHL, we've got teams in North American League, NCDC, USPHL, EHL, you know, on down. But really, I think that's the opportunity for players, is to truly work with these organizations, try to educate their players. I know we've got some exciting things coming up with an educational series to do some things to help educate our parents on that path. But really, I think, you know, there's two types of players that are playing. Is obviously we want kids to have a great experience, live in the now, enjoy their teammates, enjoy playing the game. But at the same time, is that if you want to continue to move up the ladder, you know, as you age up, eventually you're going to age out of youth hockey into junior hockey and then on to college, is that we want to make sure you're educated, making smart decisions, and then giving you opportunities as you go up. And, you know, like I said, I'm excited to be part of that.
Well, you hit on it, and I just want to have you drill down on it a little bit, is when people hear advancement, often they'll think AAA to juniors or juniors to college. But it really applies to every level, every age, every league, right? I mean, advancement begins the day you step on the ice.
I mean, that's exactly it. I mean, it doesn't matter where you're going, is that you know, you're going to age up, right? And you age up, do you want to play AAA, AA, AB? They're all different experiences, and you can have a great experience at all of them. And within the federations, there's tons of it. And I think that's one of the things that we're going to have here, is that a lot of times when people think of playing college hockey, they think of NCAA Division I or Division III. Mm-hmm. And one of the speakers in our educational series is going to be the ACHA. Last year, I coached the Dallas Penguins 16AA team. I just missed coaching, got behind the bench. And, you know, I really talked to the parents about it and saying, like, you know, when you go to college, the advantage of the ACHA is that, you know, everybody says join a club with, so you meet people with similar interests as you, so you fit in. And if you go play ACHA Division I, II, or III, you got instant 25 friends that are sharing the same interests, same background as you, and at the same time might help make your experience a little bit easier to transition to college life. You know, like I said, hockey's a big part of what we do, and as you're advancing up, just be open to all ideas, because I think at the end of the day, all roads of hockey lead to adult league.
Right. Eventually.
It really doesn't matter where you stop along the way. At some time, you might be dressing for an adult league. And I don't care if you play in the National Hockey League or, you know, you play in the AHF and THF. Yep. All roads lead to adult hockey league at some point in your career. If you want to still be playing, you're going to step on the ice there. And again, we want people to make sure they have good experiences, love hockey. And then, you know, one thing that was very important in San Jose is that, you know, as you get older, is that you get your kids involved in the game so that we only continue to keep this game growing and, you know, evolving and making sure it's the best game in the world.
And that's the goal. Before we go, I want to let everybody know that the opinions expressed on this podcast are attributable only to the individuals who share them and are not necessarily reflective of Federation's hockey, its parent organization, or its affiliates. We have an AGHF showcase coming up this weekend. I look forward to talking about the girls as we move on. But Tony, have an awesome week. Anything else you want to throw out at us before we hit the road here?
No, just good luck and, you know, have a good experience, everybody, this weekend. Best of luck to you. And please make sure that you're checking out our websites. We got a lot of cool things coming out on the website and the apps with Players of the Week. And at the same time, my homework task for everybody, there's a video submission button. If you make a great play in your games this weekend, and you could submit those videos on the AHF or THF, and I believe the AGHF, sites and potentially get featured on our social media or in our Players of the Week. So please take the time to do that, and we're excited to see all those highlights come in.
That's awesome. Hey, everybody, good luck at your games. Be kind to the officials. We can't play games without them. We're going to talk to you again in a couple of weeks. Thanks for joining us here on the Federation Hockey Podcast.